Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to your Hollywood crime scene mini episode. Hey, Desi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
I'm back, baby.
You're back in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
We're doing a mini this week. We're going to resume with our regularly scheduled main episode next week.
Mm-hmm.
After the new year.
Yeah. You'll be fine.
I like doing mini episodes.
Me too.
So let's talk about what was in the news this past week. Our first story is from Kalamazoo, Michigan. This is from Michigan Live. Drunken man poops on PT Cruiser, tells hospital staff his blood will be pure natural ice.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot going on.
It's a lot of info in that headline.
I also love that it's a PT Cruiser. Just like a nice blast from the past.
That detail makes it so good. Conservation officers with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources recently had an encounter that is hard to believe, and it involves a PT Cruiser, owls, poop, and natural ice. They're referring to like Natty Ice.
Okay.
Did you ever drink those as a kid?
No.
They're bad.
Yeah.
Still here? Read on. According to an official DNR report, the bizarre incident occurred in early December at the Gourd Neck State Game Area in Kalamazoo County when conservation officers Cameron Wright and Joshua Solis came across a PT Cruiser parked at one of the entrances. The man in the vehicle said he parked there to listen to the owls and that he wanted to be left alone. But the COs noticed an open, tall container of natural ice beer in the cup holder. They asked the man on a scale of 1 to 10 how drunk he was. And he responded with, "I'm at a 5. I'll be honest, I'm drunk," according to the report.
Wait, who are the people talking to him? Are they security or cops?
They're conservation officials.
Oh, okay.
So they're working at this conservation for wild game.
Okay.
And they're like, how drunk? This is not an official drunk test.
Right.
They're saying, give me a scale of 1 to 10. Based on the response, the officers began conducting sobriety tests, but partway through, the man made a face of shock, grabbed his rear, dropped his pants to his ankles, and began defecating on the rear bumper of his PT Cruiser.
Wait. There was a moment of shock.
Even he was shocked.
So, I mean, I like he had an emergency. This was not a disrespectful thing. He also would have liked this not to happen, I believe.
And it was on his PT Cruiser.
Yeah, so it's not like vandalism.
Because the headline does make it seem like he's taking a dump on someone else's PT Cruiser.
I also like that this article was like, are you still interested? It's like, yes, everyone is interested from the headline. No one's not reading further.
I know. He was arrested and taken to the hospital for a blood draw. On the way there, the man noticed that the CO, Wright, was using his GPS and said, "Man, I'm the drunk one here, and I have to give you directions on how to take me to jail, you moron."
Wow. Maybe he's a little drunker than a 5.
Yeah. During the blood draw, the man also mentioned that the nurses were not drawing his blood, but instead said, "It's all beer. Not going to lie to you." Pure natural ice. The man was lodged in the Kalamazoo County Jail and charges were submitted to the prosecutor's office for review.
I like that when they asked him what he's doing, he's like, "I just want to be left alone." I just feel like that's the best response to any authority. Like,
please.
Just leave me alone. I'm sitting here. I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm thinking, or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
He seems like he's going through it.
This guy's, yeah, send this guy to a counselor. I mean, he just shat on his own car.
And technically, he didn't drive.
He was parked.
Right? We don't know. We can't predict the future.
They should have asked him, not how drunk are you, but how sad are you? What's really going on?
What is this really a symptom of?
They should have given him that chart that you get, like on a scale of 1 to 10, like the pain level with those smiley faces.
Yes.
Been like, how do you feel inside?
Yeah. He would have been a 5.
This is a fucking wild story. This is out of Oregon Live. A TikTok psychic claimed to have solved the University of Idaho murders. Her suspect, in quotes, is suing. This woman on TikTok who claims to be a psychic was like, this is who did it.
So she named the name.
She named the name.
Without allegedly.
It says a self-described psychic sleuth on TikTok claimed to have solved the murders of 4 students at the University of Idaho in November, accusing a professor at the school of conspiring to murder the students in order to cover up an illicit affair. How did she crack the case? Tarot cards.
Oh. Wow.
The university, that's her evidence. The University of Idaho professor named in the TikTok videos has filed a defamation lawsuit against Texas-based TikTok personality Ashley Guillard, who accused the history chair of being the perpetrator in the killing of 4 students in an off-campus home on November 13th. Police still have not named a suspect and have not found the knife that they say was used in the quadruple homicide that took the lives of U of I seniors Madison Mogan, 21, of Kurt Elaine, Kaylee Goncalves, 21, of Rathdrum, Jr., Zana Kernodal, 20, of Post Falls, and freshman Ethan Chapin, 20, of Mount Vernon, Washington. On November 24th, Guillard, an internet sleuth with more than 105,000 followers, posted 6 videos to her account in which she claimed that Rebecca Schofield was responsible for the 4 deaths.
This is crazy that she would do this, that she would accuse this woman.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Like, this is wild. Guillard also said that the professor had been involved in a romantic relationship with one of the victims, Goncalves, and that that was the motive. The lawsuit says that Guillard has, quote, decided to use the community's pain for her online self-promotion. In one video, which has more than 2.5 million likes, Guillard flat out accuses Schofield of participating in the killings. According to the complaint, Guillard uses tarot cards and other readings to solve crimes. She claims to have solved several high-profile cases, including the deaths of Takeoff from Migos, businesswoman Shankella Robinson, and internet personality Kevin Samuels.
She solved those murders?
That's what she says. She solved them.
Oh, Ashley.
Schofield began working at U of I in 2016 and became the history department chair in 2021. The complaint states that she was visiting friends in Portland at the time of the killings and had never taught or met any of the victims. According to the court filing, Schofield sent Guillard a letter on November 29th demanding that she take down the defamatory videos. Instead, Guillard later that week posted additional videos making accusations against Schofield.
Now, here's what I wonder. How did she come upon this woman's name? Has it ever been connected to the case at all?
I don't think so. I don't know what I'm gleaning from this article, and please write in if you know more about this. Just what I'm gleaning from reading this article is that she's like a true crime psychic buff or something.
Right. So maybe she like saw a professor in her, and then she just looked through all the names of professors and was like, oh, it's Rebecca. She had some little jolt. whatever.
Right.
This is crazy.
Yeah, this is really wild.
This story is very wild and sad, and it's just so, the only thing I had seen was they had some footage of the two women, young women, walking with a guy.
Yeah.
But then it ended up also being nothing.
Right.
I hadn't seen anything. It's just so mysterious.
I actually don't know anything about this case at all. So
I've definitely seen it pop up on social media. I don't know a ton about it, but I did read, I think when that camera footage came out, it just seems very almost random.
Yeah.
Because there's no suspects.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
It's a very sad story. Like I said, I don't know too much about it just from reading this article really about this this woman who claims to be a psychic, and she's like, sounds like she has a big following on TikTok. The complaint says she fears for her life and for the lives of her family members. I mean,
the psychic?
No, not the teacher. The teacher does.
Okay.
I mean, this video of her accusing her has 2.5 million likes on it.
I just don't get it.
She has incurred costs, including costs to install a security system and security cameras at her residence. She fears that Guillard's false statements may motivate someone to cause harm to her or her family members. The suit seeks relief for Guillard's false statements about a relationship and for claiming she was involved in the killings. She's asking for a jury trial in Idaho. Anyway,
I just think psychics should be a little bit like, okay, technically I'm not 100%. Right?
Right.
Because you never really know. Well, how is she so confident?
What's wild to me is to put it on blast, to put this woman on blast like that to her followers.
Like, if you're a psychic, you still have to follow the law of like libel. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
To up the ante too, when this woman was like, can you stop? And she like put more videos out.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Anyway, I just thought that was like, I kind of want to look more into this.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't harass this lady. And, what else do we got? Okay, this is out of the Warrington Guardian. This is from the UK. So this is different than the Guardian. This is the Warrington Guardian.
Oh.
Buffoon exposed himself trying to pay for alcohol with penis.
Well, if you're going to pay with your penis, you have to expose yourself. There's no other way around it.
Because you have to show what it is.
Did he try to swipe it in the credit card machine?
Yeah, they're like, please remove your penis.
Insert chip.
Please remove. Guy Willis was described by his own legal representative as a buffoon for his actions. The 34-year-old was charged with exposure, with the particulars of the offense stating that he intentionally exposed his genitals, intending that someone would see them and be caused alarm or distress. He appeared to be sentenced yesterday, Thursday, at Warrington's Magistrates Court, where he was told that his actions were, quote, highly unpleasant. Opening the case, a Crown Prosecution Service representative explained that the incident occurred on April 30th this year at approximately 1 p.m. The defendant entered a convenience store in the Orford area to buy some alcohol. When he was asked to pay by the shop worker, Willis dropped his shorts and underpants to his ankles, exposed his penis, and said, "Can I pay with this?"
I mean, technically it's wrong. But that is very buffoonish, I have to say.
"Can I pay with this?" The worker promptly told him to pull his pants up and pay for the alcohol. I like that the worker wasn't immediately just like, get out of the store. He's like,
come on.
Just pay.
Yeah.
Just pull your pants up.
Luckily, he doesn't seem like he was trying to be intimidating in any way. He's just drunk, which is
sad. He sounds very drunk.
Yeah.
The defendant was identified through CCTV, which recorded the incident, and Willis gave no comment to officers' questions during his police interview after being arrested. The court was told that Willis had 6 previous convictions for 11 offenses. He pleaded not guilty to the offense after being charged and was convicted after a trial. In defense of his client, experienced solicitor Gary Heaven referenced how nobody had to attend court to give evidence, with this not being a situation where witnesses were put through the anxiety of cross-examination during the trial. "I struggle to find from my experience a more misjudged example of buffoonery than this," he said. "He was always going to be identified and come to the attention of the police. One has to question what on earth was in his mind at the time." Mr. Heaven added that Willis had been drinking at the time, made a mistake, and is not drinking anymore, and that no other customers or children were present in the shop at the time. So he has been ordered to go to rehab for 30 days and have a 90-day alcohol monitoring requirement.
Oh.
And he has to sign the sex offender registry for 5 years.
Oh, dang.
I mean, it sounds like this guy has a record of exposing.
Don't know what. And drunkenness.
Drunkenness and exposing himself.
It's got to be a low moment when your lawyer's like, yeah, my client's a buffoon on the record.
Yeah. I think we've covered a case, like an old timey one, where the defense was, my client is too much of an idiot to commit this crime.
Right.
That has to be embarrassing.
And you're kind of like, well, just get me off.
Right.
Say whatever you need.
Just say what you need.
Humiliate me.
They're like, Your Honor, my client is a moron.
Yeah.
Anyway. And our final story is about another truck spill. The last time we talked about a truck spill, 40,000 meatballs had spilled onto the highway. We've obviously talked about the famous Alfredo sauce spill from last summer, the tomatoes.
Yeah. The pesto that I believe happened.
Right. We haven't confirmed that there was actually a pesto spill, but Desi believes there was a pesto, completing the triumvirate of Italian sauces. Yes.
Well, what's happening now? We got some spaghetti?
We don't. This is not Italiano. This is from the Charlotte Observer. North Carolina truck driver ran red light, spilled hams and meat on busy Monroe Highway.
And hams?
Hams.
So Christmas hams.
Yeah, because this is from 2 weeks ago. An overturned tractor trailer spilled, various meat products, including hams, along Highway 74 in Monroe on Monday morning, city officials said in a statement. The truck was going eastbound on Highway 74 and ran a red light at the intersection of John Moore Road and the highway just before 7 a.m., according to the city. It collided with the vehicle, then left the roadway and overturned in a parking lot just off the highway. I think it's, at least it overturned in a parking lot. The hams. Yeah. I hope no one, both drivers had minor injuries. I'm glad no one died.
No.
The city statement said, and the truck driver was, quote, charged with running a red light.
Ooh.
That's embarrassing, too. You think no one's going to notice you running this red light, and the next thing you know, you've spilled hams in the road.
Well, maybe he felt like he was going too fast to stop for a yellow. You know how that happens?
Yeah.
Because you're like, have this huge truck of ham. Mm-hmm. You're like, I got to keep trying to defend him.
Oh my God. I almost choked to death because you were defending the huge truck of ham, making it to Christmas dinner on time. Because I got this huge truck of ham.
Yeah, you know how it is.
So he's charged with running a red light. That's it. That's it.
Okay.
We'll keep you posted, as always, on other sauce and meat spills.
There's a lot.
Across America. I'm literally crying right now. But not because I'm laughing, but because I was choking on my coffee.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. That's rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. I'm a huge fan of cashmere, and that can be a very expensive habit. That's why I was so excited to find Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I am absolutely living in my black cashmere mini dress, and to be honest, I want to buy like 3 more because I can't imagine my life without them. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Hollywood for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Hollywood to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Hollywood.
Desi.
Yes.
I know what I'm not watching this week. And that's all my reality shows because they all took a break for the holidays.
Oh, that's right. I noticed that with Salt Lake.
Salt Lake City's off this week. 90 Day Fiancé's off this week. It's been quiet over here.
I watched hours of Potomac. You did? Real Housewives of Potomac.
That's what I should have been doing. Melon's decided to chime in.
So I'm on season 4 now. And apparently, because I Kara Berry is the only person I know who's watched it. I mean, I might know other people. So I keep like, because I don't know. I've talked to you about this before, where you watch an old reality show and you like don't really have any grounding. Like, who do we hate?
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? You kind of have your opinions, but you don't have the community of it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God. I told her like this thing I was starting, this episode, season 4 starts off with, maybe it's like the second episode, is outrageous. And she's like, this is the greatest run of episodes right now that you're getting into in like whatever, in their Potomac history.
Yeah.
And it's accurate. Because I went to sleep last night watching it up till like 2 a.m. I woke up late because I had, you know, I traveled yesterday. So I woke up at like 10 a.m. and immediately started watching it after I got coffee.
Wow.
I had to watch it.
Yeah. No, I'm just whatever. I wasn't like watching anything too new this. It was just a very busy Christmas.
Yeah.
It was very busy. Like I got up in the morning every single day for like the past 4 days and just baked. And then ate a bunch of food and hung out with people.
I was also busy, but that was like my end of the night fall asleep thing.
Yeah.
And then it ended up keeping me up too late. Yeah. But it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw Avatar 2. I saw The Glass Onion. I haven't seen The Menu yet. I really want to see The Menu. And I don't know if it's out of theaters yet, if it's streaming yet, or if I have to go to the theater and see it.
I'm not sure. But I do want to see that.
But that's on my list.
I'm looking forward to Plane.
Oh, yeah. I just found out about this. Okay, explain Plane to me.
I don't exactly know, but I think Gerard Butler is a pilot. And something happens to a plane where it, like, crash lands. And then they get invaded by, like, I don't know, terrorists or something. Or some kind of, you know, entity that's attacking them.
Yeah. And I feel like this movie just came out of thin air. Because I just saw the poster for it. Like yesterday.
I remember when they announced it because obviously I love Gerard Butler.
Right.
And I remember them announcing it, everyone on Twitter making fun of it because it was just like plane. It's about a plane and something happens.
Yeah.
Basically. And I was like, this sounds awesome. I can't wait. And when I saw the more detailed description, even better.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's January.
Okay. Well, that's really exciting for me.
And Megan, I want to see that too.
Oh yeah, Megan. I need to see that in the theaters.
I watched the trailer and I was laughing out loud.
Same.
Because it looks very funny. Like in an intentional way.
It's right up my alley, that movie.
Yeah.
So that's definitely like get a group of people together and go see it in a packed theater experience. I want to see it.
Me too.
I'm really excited about it. Is there anything else that you're listening to, like podcasts, or are you reading a juicy novel right now?
No, I am not.
Neither of us are reading anything. Yeah, I'm not really listening to any new podcasts right now. I wish there was more to report on the media front, but there's just not, because what were both of us doing for the past week? Eating.
Right. And I think this is typically a lull in entertainment.
Yeah.
Right.
There's like the movie that comes out on Christmas or comes out on streaming on Christmas, Glass Onion. And then like, what else?
There's not much. And then you don't have time.
Yeah. I didn't have any time this week to do anything. So that's why we're doing a mini episode instead of a main episode, which is fine. Cause we're going to have a great main episode next week.
Well, I'll put the pressure on.
I'm putting the pressure on myself because it's my week. So I'm speaking that into the universe. What did you eat this week?
Oh my God.
What didn't you eat?
What exactly? First of all, pre-Christmas, it was the night a lot of people were arriving and I made really good chili verde.
Mm.
And I made honey cornbread.
Ooh.
And everyone was losing their shit over it. It was so good. I'm going to make it for New Year's Day when I make the black eyed peas cornbread thing.
Yum.
So that. And then Christmas dinner, I did the traditional, like the British or the UK, like the roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, the best pudding, right? It's so good. And then, I mean, I made a lot of desserts. We had a really successful cookie decorating.
Yeah,
I made tons of cookies. My niece invented this cute dot technique, and then we all started doing it. It was really lovely. So, yeah, I mean, everything was really good. It was just so much of it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there was any. I made the apple upside down cake. Everyone loved it. We did have latkes again.
Yeah.
For one of the Hanukkah nights. That was really good. We got caviar.
We did too.
You did?
Okay. I had a Hanukkah party at my house. I don't know, like the fifth night of Hanukkah. With my brother and some other people, and he brought over a bunch of stuff, and he brought over caviar, and that's like not something I eat very often at all.
No, me either.
And it was just like a total surprise. He surprised us with caviar, and it was very exciting because like how often do you have that?
Yeah.
And so of course we're like dumping that on the latkes.
It's good.
It was good, but I made even more latkes. Because we had latkes together, just the two of us, because we had to eat them.
Yeah.
We had to eat them. It was like the first night of Hanukkah. So I made like a huge batch. And then I made another challah. I made two challahs in the last week.
Yum.
I made one for the Hanukkah party. And then I made a second one just because, like the next day.
Oh,
I just like was like, I'm really into challah making right now.
Did you do the same recipe?
Yes.
Okay.
The Claire Saffitz New York Times recipe. So good.
Yum.
It was so delicious. It's called like the only challah recipe you'll need.
And it's true.
It's true. So like I ate a lot of it just like as is with butter, but then you're getting towards the end of the loaf and it's like 2 days old. So what do you got to do? You got to make French toast.
Yes.
So we had French toast for breakfast.
Maybe we should post some of our recipes on Patreon every once in a while.
That's a really good
idea. People always ask for them.
I know.
It would be easy to put them up there.
I'm very flattered by that. That is a great Patreon idea.
Yeah, even if it's just, it's not our recipe, but ones we like that are tried and true.
Yeah.
People often write in wanting them, and we can just have them in one place.
Because, like, I do have certain go-to things that I cook that are my recipe for stuff, mm-hmm. or it's someone else's recipe, but these are my tweaks.
Right. But I have those, yeah.
But I have a lot of stuff that is just other people's.
Right, especially things we talk about on Minis.
Yeah. So I also made something for Christmas that I had never made before. I made potatoes au gratin, Martha Stewart's recipe. I was trying to be very French.
Yeah. Martha Stewart.
Potatoes au gratin. Mm. Martha Stewart's recipe for that. And they were fucking delicious.
I mean, cheesy potatoes. That's why that woman could only eat cheesy potatoes.
I related to that woman so hardcore just the past week, because I feel like a majority of the things that I ate between Hanukkah and Christmas was potatoes.
It's one of the best foods in the world.
It's the most versatile vegetable.
Yeah. It's great with cheese.
It's great with cheese. There's multiple preparations, multiple flavorings. I could eat a potato every day.
I mean, outside of bread, what's a better receptacle for fat?
Potatoes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, it's great.
I agree. And these potatoes had a lot of fat in them, and it was delicious. It was like the cream sauce layered with Gruyere cheese. Mm. Made it in my Le Creuset braising pan, which is also the most versatile pan I have in my kitchen. That thing pays for itself.
Yeah.
I got it at an outlet store, so I did get a discount. But
I
I've had
go
it
to that outlet.
It's great. But I've had it for many years, and I use that pan for everything.
I got some Le Creuset for Christmas.
That's a great gift.
I got a butter dish, which I've been wanting. Yeah. I got a spoon rest.
Ooh.
And I got a square baking pan.
Yeah.
Just like a 10 by 10 or 8 by 8 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I wanted.
I got a lot of food gifts for Christmas. My cousin Karen, she sent me a box of local cheeses, but local cheeses from up north.
Yeah. She did this before, right?
She's done this before.
Yeah, it's such a good gift.
It's such a good gift for me specifically. I ate a lot of cheese. I feel like I ate more charcuterie than they have on Salt Lake City this season.
No, I was at the point like where I was Heather Gay.
Yeah.
I was like, I need a knife and fork food.
Right.
Because I had eaten so much cheese board. I love it. I'll never be tired of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it can be too much.
They finally addressed that on the latest episode of Housewives of Salt Lake City, that all they've eaten this entire season is charcuterie boards. We all were thinking it.
Yeah.
Someone finally said it out loud.
And they do it on Potomac too.
They just love that shit on Housewives.
I think it's just like a good food to put out for guests.
Because it looks pretty.
Yeah.
It looks pretty. I make a very good cheese board though.
Me too.
I would say like a majority of the stuff on my boards is cheese rather than meats. There's like a meat there. There's always like maybe one meat. Sometimes
right,
two.
But I agree. Mine's majority cheese. But if it's a bigger spread, I'll put more meat. It really, if it's a small spread, only one meat though.
Yeah.
But I like all the other stuff.
Me too.
And that's where I'm really good at mixing it up.
Yeah.
I would say I would love to get better at picking different cheeses because I get scared.
Yeah.
And then just use the same old ones.
I have
so
my
I would
go-to.
Like to experiment more with using different cheeses.
I found a new cheese that I really like though. They Ooh. Sell it at Cookbook and they actually have it on the menu at Republique.
Oh.
So I'm going to
Maybe we should try it.
No, it's really good. It's like tulip something.
Okay.
It's like tulip. It's called Trillium cheese. It's like a soft triple cream type cheese. It's stinky, not too stinky.
Oh, I got it when I put together a cheese board around Christmas. I can't remember which meal it was. I got one that had like a pine, like a balsam leaf on it.
Yeah.
And when I leave my cheeses out, obviously, before the board comes together. When you cut into it, it poured out almost.
I love
that. And it was really good. I wish I had gotten the name of that one.
This cheese is from Tulip Tree and it's called Trillium. And according to Republique's menu, it's from Indiana.
Okay.
But they were selling that at Cookbook and I tried that for the first time recently and I thought it was excellent.
Yeah.
I shout mean, out to that cheese place.
I rarely have tried a cheese and been like, I don't like this one.
Yeah. It's rare.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
I like most cheeses.
Yeah, sometimes. And the other thing I never really do, but if I have help, I'll do it, is they're always kind of like want you to throw in like a sheep's milk or a goat's milk.
Yes.
Into the mix.
Yes.
So that one, I'm like, I don't know those as well.
Yeah. So the cheese box that my cousin sent me was entirely goat's milk cheeses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was all goat's milk cheeses from some place called Penny Royal Farms.
Okay. I think I've seen that. It's not that I don't like them. I do. Just am less familiar with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I know goat cheeses, like the classic.
Like the spreadable.
Well, that brand I love, the Purple Haze or whatever.
Cypress Farms.
Yeah.
They do a great goat cheese.
I got a new version. Like we've had the fennel one. I think we've had like a lemon one. This one, I tried like a more chili one.
Yeah.
And it was really good.
Yeah. I've seen that. I haven't tried it yet though. But the Meyer lemon cheese from that brand is excellent.
I've loved everyone. They're so good. That's like a great cheese.
I made cookies. I made my mom's rosemary shortbread cookies.
Yeah.
That's another recipe I used to get asked a lot for.
We
really need to compile these recipes, our go-tos.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
We're going to do it, and we're going to do it on Patreon. Maybe we'll just make it at the $1 tier.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, that's like a business decision we'll come up with.
We'll talk to our lawyers.
We'll talk to our... Yeah. And I made an apple pie.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I didn't... Like, last year I was like, I went full Christmas with my pie and I did that mincemeat pie.
Oh, yes.
And I just was like doing something a little more basic.
Well, I had a snafu on Christmas because me and my niece were baking so much, we ran out of flour. And I was going to do that gingerbread Yule log cake that's really good. And I had no flour.
Oh,
no. But I had a shit ton of cream. So I made my butterscotch budino.
Ooh.
And everyone was like making fun of me because they're like, only you would be like, there's no flour. Well, I'll just whip up some butterscotch budino because we have to have dessert, even though we eat dessert every fucking day, twice a day on this trip. But I was like, no, you got to have dessert on Christmas. And the butterscotch pudding actually goes really well with the English Christmas dinner.
That's funny because that's what I sent my cousin who sent me the cheese. I sent her Mozza's butterscotch budino.
Oh, really?
From Gold Belly.
Oh, my God. That's nice.
Because it's one of our favorite desserts.
And you know what I was thinking? That would be really good with the rosemary shortbread.
Yes.
On the side.
Yes.
Don't you think?
I think she offers, doesn't she, at the restaurant, don't they offer the budino with like a cookie?
It's a cookie. But it's a pine nut rosemary cookie.
Oh,
but it's
right.
Not a shortbread.
Right.
I've actually made those before when I was really extra.
Yeah.
Like the side cookies. And that pine nut cookie is excellent.
It's really good.
I've made like even just the pine nut brittle that goes on top. It's like a pine nut nugget, but it's like clear. It's not like the white one. It's so good.
Yeah.
They're definitely time consuming, which is why I don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
And I had no flour. Yeah. Yeah. That's where you know you're with some hardcore bakers.
Right.
When you run out of huge bags of flour.
I had to have Brendan go to the store and get me more flour as well.
I mean, that was like also where I was like, luckily I have 4 quarts of cream. Right. I was like looking at cookbook because I was like, I can make creme brulee. Meanwhile, I cooked the whole dinner almost. Like I had sous chefs, but I had like 5 things. I had a million things going.
Right.
I was like the bear. I was just like, chef, like, where is this behind you? Like it was hectic.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I was looking up recipes like a maniac. I was like, what cream desserts can I make? Mm. I mean, there's a lot. So
there's a lot. No, I mean, I had fun. I really love cooking and stuff, but it had gotten to the point where it was like, wake up, chug some coffee, and immediately get in the kitchen.
No, even the cooking decorating was an all day affair.
Yeah.
Like, because I baked them in the morning and then I set up all the frosting stations. Like I had a hardcore setup and people would just come in and decorate cookies
and then leave.
It was really great. I was very happy because every cookie got decorated, which is rare.
Right.
You give up at some point.
You give
up. But people were having the best time. So I was like so happy.
Yeah.
I really was happy. I was like, oh my God. Like, I loved people coming in and decorating two cookies.
That's cute.
It was really cute.
Yeah. And by the time I was like, the last thing, the final thing I baked / cooked was the apple pie that I brought over to my brother's house for Christmas dinner. And I posted on my Instagram stories. I was like, I'm done baking for like a month. I can't do this anymore.
No.
But now I kind of miss baking. I'm going to be honest.
We got to do something for New Year's Eve. I'll think of something.
We got to do. Yeah. We got one last hurrah.
I'll think of something.
Holiday baking.
Okay. We'll plan that menu. We'll spread the cheese board out a bit with some extra things. But not. We'll keep it light.
Because we're going to do a cheese board for New Year's Eve, but we got to have some other stuff too.
Yeah. It's still a work in progress.
Right.
Okay.
Anyway, bye. Everyone say happy birthday to Desi this week. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.